You're so smart. My, you better take that off.
When were the 13 colonies a thing?
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to the
Husbandits.
I'm Jimmy.
I'm Ryan.
And we are coming to you live from our bedroom.
Well, actually from our bed, more specifically. Yeah. Our sick bed.
Yeah, we've been pretty much sick the past 2 weeks, and it's sucked.
It has sucked hardcore, because we've been sick, and then the kids have been sick, so literally everybody has been sick.
Yeah, and some people have better bedside manners than other people.
What are you talking shade about now?
Well, I thought, for me, like, you know, when you were sick, I was at your beck and call. Like, I was checking your temperature every 30 minutes. Checking, making sure you're breathing. Do you need some juice, love? Honey, are you hungry? Oh, baby, let me get you an ice pack. And here I am, sick. Like, recently been sick. And you're just crickets. Like, he stays out of the room. Comes in here only when he feels like he needs to. Doesn't really take care of me. No loving.
I take care of you in a different way. You take care of me like I'm going to die anytime I'm sick. Like, you're like, oh my gosh, your heart, you're going to be dying.
Baby, I can't.
Which is sweet.
I love you, but I can't let you die until we get the life insurance set up. And it hasn't been set up yet. And so that's why I've been taking really good extra care of you.
Wow, that's tempting fate.
Oh, yes, for real. We've been sick, and this is why we have not been able to do our podcast, because it's, you know, the kids have been sick, I've been sick, Ryan's been sick. And we're so appreciative and so thankful. We have such a good support system in our lives, right, Ryan?
We do. And people have been helping us with groceries and bringing us meals. Yeah. So it's been so sweet and supportive and helped us get better a lot faster.
Yes, it has. And so I wanted to also just share with everybody an update about our kids.
An update about the kids.
Yeah. So another reason why we've not posted, or why we haven't posted or did our podcast, is because the kids are going to finally be ours.
We're going to be adopting them.
I know. It's weird.
Yep. So adoption day is finally coming upon us. Mm-hmm. After a long wait and uncertainty and roller coaster ride. So Thursday is going to be adoption day.
Yeah, it's crazy. That is crazy that we're going to actually be adopting our three kiddos.
And I was thinking about that earlier when I was putting the kids to bed, that, like, when we started out, I didn't know if we're ever going to have kids, and yeah, maybe we'll have one kid, and I'm just sitting there putting them to bed, and I'm like, oh my gosh, these three kids are, yeah, are kids forever. And it just kind of felt like all the things lined up, and time has flown by of, like, how did we even get here?
Yeah, we've had them for 30 months. A lot of people listening probably don't know our story, and that's something we would like to share later, but I know for the past 30 months it's been a roller coaster, you know, because we've been fostering these three kiddos. They were our second placement. Our first placement was a little girl. She's a little diva. Mm-hmm. She was 4, and she was talking about dancing and stripper poles and all kinds of craziness, but she was only with us for like four weeks, and then we got this phone call for these kids. And you know, at first it was the two brothers, and we said, yeah, we'll take them. And then 3 months later, their little sister came to us, and we were just, it was supposed to be a tryout thing where we're like, oh, let's test having three kids for a weekend. And as soon as she showed up, there was no way we were going to send her away or send her back, right? Like, we were just, yeah, like, how can we say no to her? She's like, walked up to Ryan and just like put her hands up, like, pick me up. And like, there's no way we're gonna say no to this little girl. And, you know, So 30 months fostering, yeah. So, and now we're going to be adopting.
We're going to have Bandit Banter Babies.
Bandit Banter Babies, yeah, y'all.
It's been so great watching people support the Husbandits by getting their Husbandit merch at our new merch store.
Yes.
Including little Zacky Poo, so that we have kid shirts too. So he has his Husbandit shirts that he's so proud of.
Yeah. Zacky Poo is our youngest boy, and he is our redhead. And we love him so much. He's so funny. And he, you know, we got him this Husbandit shirt, and he put it on, and he's like, a Husbandit shirt! So excited. Get your Husbandit merch at our store. Yeah. And Ryan, you'll post the link on Facebook?
I'll put the link on Facebook. We have some more merch planned to come out. Some
yes.
shirts with some sayings and some...
Yeah, some things that we don't want to share right now, but will be out there,
yeah.
I think.
Yep, so we'll let you guys know when those are
coming out. Yeah, I really miss doing this, Ryan.
I know.
I know. It's just been weird with being sick and then the kids and the whole... And everything, the you know, all of that. It's just been the past 2 weeks has just been crazy, so... If you think about it, though, we've only really missed one day, one podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't miss it. We just left you in suspense, everyone.
Yeah. What happened to the Husbandits?
Where'd the bandits
yeah.
go?
Yeah.
So they're eating some biscuits.
We were stuffing our face with biscuits and forgot, you know, what was in our biscuits.
Ew.
We don't do that, people. We do not do that. I was talking about what's in our biscuits. Right? Don't give
what
me that
do you
dirty...
Mean?
Like brownies? No, you
what?
Why are you making it something bad? It's not supposed to be bad.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. You're just like, we don't do that. I don't know what you're talking about.
I was talking about, like, edibles. We don't do
that.
We don't do that at all. But when I said, what's in our biscuit, you gave me that look like...
Well, I thought you meant something else. I was like, really? I don't know if we should be doing that.
Yeah, no, we were talking about that. Okay, sorry. What were we talking about? Oh, so another thing is we are going to have to change the like our release date on our podcast from Thursdays. So instead of new episodes coming out on Thursdays, we're changing it to Mondays. That way we have the whole weekend to record and edit. With Ryan's new job, it's difficult now because he's having to travel every other week to Austin. And so we just feel like we don't want to be doing Zoom episodes, right?
Yeah.
You want to share more about that?
The Husbandits are better in person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because then I can hit you when you're getting off track.
Yeah. You're so cute.
I know.
Trying to hit me.
Well, I don't try.
Yeah.
I do.
Oh, do?
So, yes, look forward to the Husbandits on Mondays is when it should hit all of your podcast wonderfulness. And then you can listen on your way to work and have a better Monday because of us. You're welcome.
What a better way to start your week. Yeah, listen to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can think of a lot better things, but...
Name me 10.
What?
What? That's like, name me 10 things. That's like my thing. You know?
I think you're delirious.
I am.
Medicine.
It's been crazy. So, Ryan, what do you have for us?
Well, today we're jumping back into the bandit mysteries. And I have... Don't make fun of me.
The bandit mysteries?
I forgot what we do here on this podcast.
The bandit banter, y'all.
Biscuit.
Oh, that was my phone that went off. I thought I silenced that.
Bandit banter, y'all! Let's get on with the bandit banter.
Now, I'll be covering the...
Bandit...
Sorry. So, I'll be covering the Winchester Mystery House. Jimmy, any idea what that is?
No, I haven't because you never share any of this with me.
I know. And I ask you every time because maybe 1 week you'll be like, oh, I know exactly what that
is. I know. If you tell me ahead of time, you know.
No. What's the fun in that? The Winchester Mystery House this week is the inspiration behind Walt Disney's Haunted Mansion ride. Ooh.
Yeah. Speaking of Walt Disney World, I mean, you said Walt Disney, but Walt Disney World in Florida, right, is where we're going to take our kiddos this year?
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Or like post-adoption vacation.
Party.
But we're not going to be going to the Winchester Mystery House, which is in San Jose, California. And it's this really weird house that is a tourist attraction because it's just very mysterious. And totally weird.
Kid. What is up with that voice that you're trying to... Are you trying to scare me? You know I don't scare too. I don't really scare too easily.
Well, keep maybe one week.
Keep it up, Mr. Ryan.
Well, the house itself is a Queen Anne-style Victorian mansion in San Jose, California that was built in 1886 and is reportedly haunted.
Oh. Ooh.
The house was a 7-story mansion.
Yeah.
Today, it's only 4 stories. And the property was once 160 acres.
Hold on, wait. You said 7 stories and now it's only 4 stories?
Yep. It was built in 1886. So there's been earthquakes and structural things that have happened over the years.
Oh, okay. I just don't understand how it goes from 7 stories to 4 stories.
Because like, of earthquakes.
How do you take stuff. 2 levels away?
That's 3 levels, Hardy.
Well, 3 levels. Yeah, sorry. We're smarter than we sound.
Mm-hmm. Well, the property was also 162 acres, but now it's only 4.5 acres. So same thing. It was like over the years, the property size has reduced. The house has like come apart in places and they've had to take the levels off.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned, it was the inspiration behind Walt Disney's Haunted Mansion ride.
Hmm.
There are approximately 161 rooms. In this house, 40 bedrooms, 2 ballrooms, 47 fireplaces, 10,000 glass panes, 17 chimneys, and 3 elevators.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot going on in this house.
Is that before we removed 3 stories or after?
That is currently, I believe.
Okay.
Now, the thing with the rooms, too, is reportedly, nobody's ever actually been able to count exactly how many rooms they are because they get lost or turned around and lose count. It's all part of the strange things with this house. Let's go back to the journey and explore how this house came to be. And that brings our subject Sarah Winchester in,
okay,
who was the heir to the Winchester fortune and who built this home under strange circumstances. So Sarah Lockwood Pardee was born in 1839 in New Haven, Connecticut, to upper class parents, and her father was a carriage manufacturer. She led a life of luxury, as her family was well connected in the New Haven society.
I knew I liked Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah. She's like the Kardashians back in the day.
Back in the 1880s.
Yeah. Well, she's really nothing like the Kardashians. Anyways, when she was of age to marry, her family had set her up with William Wirt Winchester. And William was the son of Oliver Winchester, the owner of the Winchester Repeating Arms Company. The Winchester rifles that the family...
I've heard of them,
Yep. So they were the guns. And the iconic model 1873 was a game changer and one of the most successful rifles of its day. And it was called the gun that won the West because it was the first weapon that was mass-produced that was able to shoot multiple rounds without reloading.
That's freaking awesome.
Did you know that?
Yeah. Way to change the world.
Yeah. Winchesters.
Making it a more aggressive world.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah and her husband, William, were an extremely happy couple, and they were genuinely in love. They got married in 1862 and were ready to start an amazing life together and raise a family, and all was well in their world until they gave birth to a daughter named Amy Pardee Winchester during their 4th year of marriage.
Okay.
And unfortunately, they get sad, but Annie died 40 days after she was born from a disease called marasmus. And it's when you literally starve to death because your body can't absorb nutrients from eating.
I've heard of like something like that, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that sad?
Yeah, it's very sad.
So the death of Annie changed Sarah, who became more and more distressed and was obviously never able to recover from the loss of her daughter. Then in 1880, William's father died, and that left the company for William to inherit, a company worth $20 million, or half $1 billion in today's currency. And then tragedy struck again a year later when Sarah's husband dies, leaving her completely broken. She lost her husband and her only daughter back to back. So she sort of stumbled into a deep depression there.
Wow. Yeah. I bet. That's got to be hard. Especially in the 1860s. Like, there's no TV. Is radio? Like, there's no radio.
No.
There's nothing.
Nope.
Can you imagine losing your whole family?
I know. That's sad.
In the 1800s? That would suck. You'd be all by yourself.
Yep. And now she was the heiress of the Winchester fortune, so that half $1 billion, as well as a large stake in the company, and that gave her an income of $26,000 a day in today's currency.
Oh, there's no ice cream. Like, there's no ice cream back then either. Like, would there be ice cream in the 1860s?
What does that have to do with anything?
I was just saying, like, is there ice cream back then? Like, I just think, like, when I have problems, I eat ice cream, or I eat, like, really sugary foods. You know, I eat my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that would suck to, like, have no TV, no ice cream. Oh, my God.
Your segment next week is going to be, what did they have in the 1800s? So, Sarah believed that the deaths of her loved ones were a result of a curse on the Winchester family from the spirits of all of those who died at the hands of the Winchester rifle. Hmm. And they were seeking revenge and therefore targeted this family to curse them for the rifles that they brought into the world.
I love you. You're so cute.
She sought guidance on how to break the curse, which led her to a psychic medium located in Boston. And the medium agreed that angry spirits have tormented the family, and that she would have to appease these spirits by building them a large home. Sounds legit, right?
Yeah.
What's more, the home would have to be under constant and endless construction, because if the construction ever stopped, then she would die. She purchased
I love you, Ryan. I do. Can I kiss you? Can I give you a kiss real quick? I love you. I'll stop.
She purchased an unfinished farmhouse in 1884 and a team of carpenters who would build the house according to her wishes. Sarah did not hire an architect. Instead, she decided to do all of the planning and design herself.
Oh, wow.
There was always work going on at the house. Again, she thought that if it ever stopped, then she would immediately die. So there was always somebody working on the house. They were building rooms, redoing rooms.
Like, she was the house.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yep. The construction crew was ordered to work 24/7, 365 days a year. So they were always working on the house. And I mean, I'm sure that means, like, somebody could just be doing the baseboards, you know, just one guy instead of a whole crew, right?
She would want the whole crew there.
I don't know. But she would just walk around in a veil and these long black gowns, even though it was 1,000,000 degrees outside. She would just be always covered.
She's just depressed?
I think so, wow. And the house, she designed it herself, so there was just a lot of weird things in the house. There were doors that opened into walls. There were random stairs, windows that were located where there was no light, secret passages, a door where when you open the door, the floor leads to a 15-foot drop.
Hmm.
And there was another one like that fell into a kitchen.
BDSM room?
No. There's even a cabinet that opened that extended through 30 rooms of the house.
Oh, wow.
Like a cabinet. So just a lot of randomness. Stairs that were just, they randomly led to nowhere.
Yeah.
and relocated all of the house. And so what she thought was if she made the house like this, she would trick the spirits or they would get lost trying to follow her throughout the house. And so they have all these weird things to try and trick them so that they would not be able to find her or follow her. She basically built the house like a maze, thinking that the spirits would get lost and she would be able to lose them. But the funny thing is she did have a seance room in the house where she would communicate with the dead and get instructions from the dead about the house that then she would give to the construction crew. Mm. So I'm sure they loved that. Like, okay, today I've got instructions to have this window open up into a wall. Get at it. Now, Sarah only used the best and most luxurious materials in the house as well. So while the home was built of redwood, she did not like the look of redwood and had it stained with over 20,000 gallons of paint. She had a Tiffany stained glass windows, a custom $387,000 web designed window that was never installed but sat in a storage room. And she had forced air heating, indoor toilets, elevators, and electricity, which were all rare at the time for a house to have those modern conveniences. And she had obsessions with the number 13, and it's found all throughout the house. There's 13 stairs on every staircase, 13 paned windows, 13 paneled siding or paneled ceilings. So she was very into the number 13.
She must love colonial history.
Why?
13 colonies.
Oh. Wait, I'm not even going to ask when that was.
The 1700s or prior.
Okay. So
16, 1700s.
They were already a thing at this point.
Yeah, the 13 colonies were in. The American Revolution. I love you.
Painter, painter. We'll just throw that in. Sarah died in 1922 of heart failure, and she was buried next to her husband and her daughter. Her will had 13 sections, and she signed it 13 times.
I guess the spirits caught up with her.
Well, she was old at that point.
Well, yeah, she slowed down. They caught up with her.
Oh. They found her.
They found her. They're chasing her down.
Maybe. Her niece inherited the home and auctioned it off, and it's currently owned by Winchester Investments LLC as a tourist attraction.
Wow, so that company is still around, Winchester.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And there have been numerous...
mm-hmm. You're like, mm-hmm, yeah. Do you know if they're really around?
Well, obviously, the Winchester LLC, it's a tourist attraction.
Oh, okay.
But in modern times, there have been...
That's the pump monster.
I mentioned at the beginning that it was the inspiration of the Haunted Mansion ride, and that it's reportedly haunted. And so that comes from more modern times, from tourists visiting the strange house and walking around in the tourist attraction.
Yeah.
There are reportedly numerous ghost sightings and paranormal activity that's happened in the home. And the most frequent guest that multiple people claim to have seen is named Clyde, who appears with a wheelbarrow. And he is either in the basement or repairing a fireplace in the ballroom.
I have a wheelbarrow story to share with you later.
Can't wait. One visitor said, "We really like the actor repairing the fireplace in the ballroom wearing the white overalls." And the manager was like, "Huh? Who? We don't have an actor that we hired here." Now, people also report feeling tugs on their clothing or seeing a man greet them only to have him disappear when they look back. And there is also shadowy human-shaped figures that roam the hallways, or people see them kind of in the corner of their eye, and when they turn around, there's nothing there. So it's definitely got some reports there of ghosts and spookiness. Ooh. That's happened quite a lot. And that's the Winchester Mystery House, y'all.
Wow, Ryan. And, you know, I waited this whole time to tell you that as you were sharing that story, I watched something on TV that was about this. So I kind of knew the whole thing.
Look at you.
I know. Like, does that give me points or what?
No. Okay, so what's this wheelbarrow story?
Well, the wheelbarrow story goes like this. So I was 17, and my mom was dating this guy, and he owned a fencing company, and he subcontracted out work to this crew, and so I went with this crew. I had a gig or whatever to get to make extra money. And so I went out with this crew to this house, and this house was like in Highland Park. Like, it was like a really nice neighborhood in Dallas. I would say Highland Park just because the house is just so nice, rich, like big. And the pool was just, it was just a nice pool, like a really nice pool. Lots of money. So the guy was teaching me, it was Gerald that was the old man, and then his son. And they were teaching me how to do concrete or how to make cement. So you would just take like the ratio for gravel and then cement and put it into a wheelbarrow, and then you just carry it to where you're going to set the post. Well, so happens that as I'm carrying the cement, I kind of topped it to the very top. Rookie mistake there. And part of the path to get to where we were going to be setting the post was right by the pole. So I had to walk towards the pole to get to the fence so that we could, you know, set the post. And I was trying to show out, like, look at all the cement I can carry. You know, I'm this young kid, never set post in my life. I'm a rookie. It's probably like my second day on the job. And I'm walking by the pole, and instead of walking straight, I'm walking backwards. My foot trips onto something. There's this raise in the sidewalk, the pole decking. There's this little raised area, and my foot hits it, and I trip backwards. And the wheelbarrow goes into the pole, and you see the cement and the gravel all just go to the bottom, and then it comes up like a mushroom cloud. You see it go to the bottom, and it comes up as a mushroom cloud, and it covers the whole pole top. You can't like see the bottom anymore. It was so bad.
What happened?
Well, my mom's boyfriend had to pay, need to have the pole fixed or have it cleaned. And I was allowed to go back to work with them, but just at a different job site. So they didn't send me back to the job site.
Oh my God.
It was so bad. It was so bad that we had to leave. Like, we had to, like as soon as, like, work stopped, and we just, like, got in the truck, put the wheelbarrow back of the truck, and we just drove away because it was just that bad. Yeah, the pool needed to be clean, and I think the owner was pissed because they had to call him and tell him. And that was an expensive pool. I mean, I'm telling you, that was an expensive pool. So,
yikes.
All that cement and everything going into the plumbing. Ooh.
Well, I'm glad that you're still the same person that you were all those years ago.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I didn't know, but it was so funny because as I'm walking, as I'm walking backwards, I'm like, you know, like, why am I walking backwards, you know, to begin with? Because I never used a wheelbarrow before. So, anyways, God, to be 17 again. So, that is it.
We're not doing that.
That is the end of our this episode. Right? Why are you staring at me like that?
Well, Jimmy, that was a great story.
Yeah.
And we're still sick, so we're gonna blue skidoo out of here.
Yes. And just, we are gonna get better soon.
We are gonna get better soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, leave us a 5-star rating and a review on your favorite podcast app, please, if you love us.
I think all right. Well, that's it,
the
folks.
The Huzz Bandits.
The Huzz Bandits. Like us on Facebook, Twitter. What else are we on?
All the places that you can find us.
Yeah, supposedly I'm responsible now for all social media. All right, you'll just edit that out too. Okay, bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.